Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Welcome to the Hamersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about the lifetime customer value and how important this is to your overall profitability of your store. We get into what it is, how to measure it, and also how to ultimately improve it in your store. And you'll see that it ties into a lot of the other KPIs quite nicely. And so without further ado, let's get started.
Hi Ian, how are you doing?
Hello Mark, very good. How are you?
I'm all right. This topic of this week, we're going to talk about the lifetime customer value. So first, probably we should give our definition of lifetime customer value. And I like to call it really the lifetime, how much someone will buy in a 12-month period. You can go further than that if you know, 24 months and greater, but I tend to do 12 months, which gives you pretty much a good idea about obviously how many times people are buying in a year and the value of what they're buying in a year. And that gives you something to act on. It's a lot more difficult if you're doing it over 5-10 years, because obviously that's harder to go and implement. What do you think?
Yes, I think lifetime customer value, one of the most important metrics of any scaling of e-commerce business. That's why we make it one of the core KPIs. I mean, it's the same, we always say, how many times in a year do they buy? And as you know, we talk about average order value and how it's linked to that. So if you've got a low average order value and of, let's say, under £50, and you have a low lifetime customer value, then it's going to be much, much harder to scale your business, your e-commerce business. And most importantly, I think it's about the products you're selling and why the customer's buying them that determines the lifetime customer value. So I'll give you an example of two clients. One of them sells wedding favors, a particular type of wedding favor. And it's a well-known sweet brand who's decided to take a retro sweet and make a wedding favor with. And they do fairly well, have a reasonably healthy conversion rate. Their average order value is probably £30. And they have a house file of 200,000 of active customers who've bought in the last few years, but they have no repeat business at all. They have no, so the customers do not buy again, and therefore
you don't get married very often.
You do, exactly, and then if you get divorced, you don't want to buy the same wedding favor again. So they have a fundamental, they recognize it. They have a fundamental problem of scaling their business. Compare that to an extreme example, someone selling contact lenses. They're selling contact lenses, they're £12 every month, they're getting the order. And so their conversion rate then is 12%. Their lifetime customer value is 12%. It's amazing. So the LTV or LTCV, which is the two ways you'll hear it, lifetime value or lifetime customer value, it's absolutely fundamental with scaling your revenue. Now, the statistic that it will show as, if you're looking at Google Analytics, it will show as your conversion rate. Because, the only reason you get a site that's converting at 5 or 6% is because you've got repeat customers coming back.
if you can't really track you can't really track lifetime customer value in Google Analytics, so can you? Because you can't. No. It does Google Analytics doesn't tell you which customer's buying what. You have to combine that data with your transactional data, and then you can start to see what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, in an ideal world, you would have a high first purchase order value with a big margin. You'd have a customer that bought multiple times a year, and you'd have a multiple purchase average order value of a high level as well. So you'd be, that's where you'd want to be. That's the best place. You know, customers buying a lot and buying high amount of products. And that's probably, probably the one that comes to mind, the best one is probably Apple. You know, you're buying laptops, Apple Watches, all sorts of gadgets that are high average order value, and you're buying them multiple times. Whereas if you're on the other end, like you say, you know, you're under £30 and you're only buying it once, you have to get all your profit out of that first sale and out of that small first sale. And that's where it's difficult.
Yeah. And the lifetime customer value completely dictates the amount of money you want to spend on your customer acquisition. Because if you know that you've got, five times, a real example is when a big fashion brand went into the United States, and it was part of the N Brown Group, actually. One of those brands went into the United States to launch. Their average order value was only, I think it was $45, but the marketing team were given $85 as a customer recruitment aim, because they knew that the average lifetime customer value was four times a year, and they were happy with that. But I think in consequence that's very, very aggressive. And most of our advice would be to our clients that even if you've got, you know, two or three times lifetime customer value, you know, as a general rule of thumb, you should try to break even on the first purchase, because otherwise you're going to get into a mess where
you're going to get into a cash flow situation, aren't you? And you don't have the money coming in to do it. If you've got something extreme like contact lenses, where, you know, the first purchase is maybe like £100, but you know that over the year they're going to spend £500, then you might be willing to take a little bit of a hit on your first purchase. But you've got to do it in a sensible way. And also, not every product's created equal. You know, some products might be a one-off and some products might be a multiple purchase, and a good salesman in a physical shop would know that, and it would push the customers to the right to the product that they would come back and buy more and more. So,
well, that's exactly right. I mean, so let's talk about practically how to increase the lifetime customer value, because, you know, if you get it right, it is the most profitable way, because you're not paying for the customer again because you've already got them. You don't have to pay your pay-per-click costs, you know, or your Facebook, advertising costs. You've got them. I mean, typically, it's email that tends to be talked about with lifetime customer value, because obviously, you know, an email is more profitable, which is why email it can be the most profitable channel, because they're only on your email list if they've either signed up for a newsletter or more likely bought something already. They're the ones that you're going to convert anyway. So I think probably the interesting things is some of the stories that we have seen that our clients have used to really get the lifetime customer value up. And probably the first major one is that the repurchase frequency is highest when they've just bought. And I remember the story about a men's tailoring clothing company, and we tested, and you'll remember this, Mark, it was a post-purchase follow-up email, and it was just one email, and we tested sending it 4 weeks after somebody had bought, then 3 weeks, and then 2 weeks. And every time we brought that sent that post-purchase email closer to their original purchase. We did it. We sent it faster, quicker. The conversion rate went up, and we kept testing it until we were doing it, you know, a week, 5 days, and then we thought, bugger it, let's do it 2 days, 1 day, and then we tested it an hour after.
No, I think we actually sent it with the order confirmation email. So they got the order confirmation email, and they got the other email at the same time. So we didn't put the offer in the order confirmation email. We just actually gave them a separate email.
And it basically just said, oh, thanks so much for your order. Welcome to the club. We love you. As a celebration for you to be part of our, you know, wonderful company, here is an offer. And it was like a 25% off offer, and that was, I mean, that was like £50,000 a month.
You know, this was 10 years ago. This was 10 years ago, because I remember doing it specifically, trying to go, oh, they bought this product, so I'm going to go and do an upsell on this specific product. And I tried to, you know, and back 10 years ago, I had to physically actually go and hard code that, because it wasn't the automation that's available today, and I found the more fancy it got, the lower the conversion. It was just better to just go and just send an email straight away.
Yeah. And then the second one we did, we launched a friends and family email for them as well.
Yeah.
And
that was three emails going out. It was one upsell for them. There was the order thank confirmation email, and there was that friends and family one, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And that was huge.
And then it's friends and family, and it was a big offer on the friends and family one. Yeah, and it said underneath, it said, shh, don't, you know, you can use it for yourself. Don't tell. You can use it for yourself. And that, again, was just money for nothing. I mean, it cost nothing to send them out. I mean, it was, so that, you know, for us, that is lifetime customer value. You know, not getting too fancy dancy with it all. That's probably, those two things there were one of the most effective ways we've increased the lifetime customer value. And when you put that into stats, the numbers, I mean, it was a game changer for our recruitment. Yeah, it really was.
The other experiment we did was actually doing that split testing after the purchase, where they would actually put a free gift in 50% of the deliveries, and then work out whether that free delivery, whether that free gift actually increased the lifetime customer value. Because when we took the data and looked at when people bought, again, we were expecting people to, you know, maybe buy 6 months later and stuff like that. But it seemed to happen that if they were going to buy again, they were going to buy in the first 30 days, and if not in the week. And it does kind of make sense if you think about it. You know, when people are purchasing, let's say they're purchasing a light for a room, you know, they're in that mode of like doing up that room. So therefore, they've got a need, and therefore they're going to buy the light, and they're going to buy something else. Or if they're going to buy some clothing,
well,
they're going to an event.
They might have moved into a new house, or they're getting the house ready to sell, or they're getting the house ready for something. And you know, they're in that mode where
they're in that buying window, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so therefore, once you can look at your stats, and if you see that in your own stats that your repeat purchase is actually very close to the first one, and you can find that sweet spot of when it is, you can then start to mirror your behavioral post-purchase emails to match how that buyer is buying. And then you can kind of walk alongside them, and you're not interrupting them. I mean, you're not sending them too many emails, because it's exactly what they need, because you're pacing with them. And that can work really well. And the gift one, the split test gift one, that was really interesting, because that really increased not only how much people bought, but how quickly they bought again, by making sure that they had, that's the first impression of their service, and therefore just giving them something unexpected.
Just before we move on to that one, I actually just want to tell you a little story about IKEA. I was chatting to someone in IKEA, and they were saying that what they realized that the IKEA shoppers were doing, and I think this is obvious when you think about it, is that people didn't go to IKEA for, let's say, 16 months, you know, a year and a half, and then they went to IKEA, and they went to IKEA like four times in 3 weeks.
Mm.
So they kept coming back. Like, you didn't hear from them for like, you know, a year and a half. And then all of a sudden they come back. And that's just shows it, that, you know, because they're in the mode. So you have to see if you've got a product like that. And and so the first thing we've figured out is that they're very likely to buy again quickly. So help them go with the flow of the river. You know, if they don't, they're not bothered about buying, you know, a lamp in 6 months after they bought the last one. You can't get them to, if they don't want it, they're not going to buy it. More likely to buy something again to help them do that. And then I think the second thing is knowing what products tend to have a higher lifetime customer value. And I think this was a game changer when we figured this out, when certain products that we were selling had naturally a higher lifetime customer value than others. And therefore, you go and recruit harder on those. Let me give you an example of this. So it was another fashion client, actually. And we were analysing what the lifetime customer value was by category, by product, first bought, and how it differed over the year. And we've discovered, and it's again, it's like, duh, really bloody obvious, that clothes that were, they were selling clothes to men again, sizes that were big, so really big trousers, really big jackets, the lifetime customer value was 4 times higher than a normal product. So we're buying 6 times a year on average, which is just unbelievable. And they were coming back and buying the shirts and the jumpers and the trousers. Because, and therefore, what did we do? Well, we recommended recruiting, spending more on recruiting those large men's clothing. You know, and that's what lots of fashion brands have done, where, you know, look at people like Long Tall Sally, who's selling clothes to women who are tall.
And there's Big and Tall for Men as well.
Big and Tall for Men and Giacomo and these big guys. So, you know, it's like what products you've got that are naturally lending themselves to a better lifetime customer value than others. And then go and spend more recruit. It's obvious, isn't it? You know,
and giving that data to whoever's managing your AdWords, so they can actually make better decisions on where they actually make the biggest spend.
Exactly. So that's the good. So just for finish. So you've got two things we've said so far. Number one, they're most likely to buy when they've just bought. Number two, look for those hidden gems within your products that naturally have a higher lifetime customer value, like the larger men's clothing sizes. And then you've got the rest of everybody. And I think there's two things that are also really big game changers. And this is the discussion around loyalty points. And then the next one is the VIP premium delivery and how those things. And I think they're really good because what you're doing is if you analyze your house file, and this is your active customers, the ones that are always doing better is the 0 to 6 month multi-buyers who spent more than anyone, i.e. the segment number one are the guys that love you. And so you have to treat them better. You have to treat them like premium customers. So how do you do that? Well, you give them money to spend off of the stuff and you give them free delivery. So the two things that we've trialed, and we've done this for loads of clients, is giving them loyalty points automatically. So rather than the trick for loyalty points is no one cares about earning loyalty points. They care about having them to spend. And then the other thing is, so you basically make sure that everybody earns loyalty points without even realizing it. And then you actually then tell them the cash equivalent. So you'd rather than say you've got 4,282 points, you're actually saying you've got £42.82.
It's so much easier to understand, isn't it?
So much easier to understand. And then if you're sending them an email with, you know, a great personalization email system that's obviously recommending the right products, and you've got them returning it at the right time, and then you're hitting them with, oh, by the way, you've got £42 to spend on your next purchase. And we're going to give you a VIP premium free delivery for this year. I mean, it's like, wow. the premium free delivery thing is amazing, and how that the first people to do this, I mean, Amazon Prime basically, and then ASOS started to do it, JD Williams started to do it, and of course we copied that for a lot of our clients and tested the lifetime customer value. And honestly, the VIP premium delivery, and essentially what you're doing is you're giving them the customer the option to pay for as a one time, as a one off fee of like, you know, 15 quid or something, the ability to get free next day delivery for 12 months. And then all the emails and everything communicating about goes along with that. And that's been phenomenal. You know, the effect on lifetime customer value for the customers that we gave that to, because we tested it, we gave some of them to it, has been brilliant. I mean, it's like, it almost looks too good to be true. But because it's like having something stupid, like 5x uplift. But, I think the initial signs of it are showing that it's really exciting. So the loyalty points one is good, because it gives you more leverage, because you've got something to, because also you can make the points expire and you can top them up. You can say, oh, well, you know, you've only got £2 of loyalty points, but because we love you, we're going to top them up. And if your average order value is £100, you say, right, we're going to top them up to £10. So you've got £10 to spend now. I mean, it's brilliant. You know, because the customers aren't buying anyway. If you've got a lifetime customer value of once a year, they're not buying. So you might as well do it.
Yeah, you know? Because it's so much easier. And also, if you go and pay for a new customer, it's cost you so much more. Exactly. So you've got some money to go and use to go and get that customer to buy again. Because it's, especially if they're like a lapsed customer, you've got nothing. You know, there's no reason to not to do it.
Yeah,
I also think, you know, what we talk about a lot is like, when, if you know, imagine your store as a physical store, and if you were on, you know, you were an independent business, physical store on the high street. And you had these premium customers who bought, probably, you know, 10% of your customers are going to drive 90% of your revenue or something ridiculous. You would know those people by name. You'd make a fuss of them. You'd recognize them. You'd put products aside that you thought they might like. You would go out of your way to make them feel special. And so we need to be doing the same thing on our e-commerce sites. We need to notice. I mean, I don't think a lot of the people I start working with even know who their premium customers are. They've never done the maths and gone, oh my God, there's this guy in Skipton and he's buying £1,000-£2,000 a month of these shoes. And, because they don't look at the data. And then you go,
yeah, you've got to start doing segmentation.
Why are you buying so many shoes? And he goes, because I actually work for this company.
And you have to know. Yeah, you got to know what's the pattern. What did he first buy?
Yeah, because there might be other people like him.
What was his average order value when he first bought?
There might be other people like him. Exactly. Yeah. And then you go and say, what else could I help? And then you create a special program for people who do that specific business. And you say, well, this is what we do for these people, and this is why we do it. And, you know, we can really help you. And I think if you... because sometimes people can't go and add a reward system because it's difficult. But actually, you can always create a premium buyers club, and you can do it manually. Yeah. And you can say, look, you've hit the premium buyers club. I'm going to give you this.
You know what?
The secret is
everybody becomes a premium buyer. You tell everybody they are. You know,
you've got to be within limits there. You can't say, oh, you've just bought something for £10. Well, you're a premium buyer.
We know a lot of the big retailers, like, okay. Story is the White Company. We all know the White Company. The White Company were famous for, I mean, a great thing that everybody thinks are an amazing, luxurious, you know, high-end, premium brand. They're just a discounter. Yeah, the products are great. They're just a discounter. Just doing it very cleverly with beautiful imagery. What you get this physical car with the White Company. You buy something, you get this car, and it's like, you're now a VIP member of the White Company. We're going to give you an exclusive 30% off, and this is just for our VIP customers. And then, and of course, we sign up to everything and do test orders all the time. So in our office, we had this letter come to me. I had two letters from the White Company. One, beautiful VIP, and then the next letter came, and I hadn't even bought anything for like 3 years on this particular account, and I I had the same.
Oh, I see. You've got two different emails, and like, they love me, and it's
I mean, it's very interesting. They were subtly different. Yeah. They were differently, but the principle of trying to make me feel special because I'd already bought something was there.
That's one of our classic models, though, isn't it? You know, like, be a discounter, but don't look like a discounter.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Look high end, look luxurious, have the imagery, but then do the deals. I mean, I was looking at, I think it was like someone like Prada the other day, and they were doing these capsules, like deal captures, and I'm like, there it is. They don't look like discounters, but they are. They make all their money in the sales,
and that's
how they work.
We need to do a podcast on that deal. Like, what's the value proposition? But how do you structure? How do you work with promos? Do you discount?
The offer.
And what happens to the here? Actually, it's very important for this podcast because a lot of people say to me, the last 15 years, I think every week I've had a retailer, an online retailer, come to me and say, "Oh, I don't want a discount because my lifetime customer value will be screwed. They'll always want a discount, and my margin will be buggered. They won't come back and buy." The one hit wonders. And every single time I say, let's test it. Let's test recruiting on an offer and let's see what happens to the lifetime customer value of the people that we recruit at full price. And every single one of these clients is amazed by the results, because what happens is you recruit a lot more people when you're being clever with the offer. And the lifetime customer value is exactly the same. They buy the same amount of times as the people that bought at full price every single time. But the key to it is the way you position the offer. And if you do, you know, we don't like necessarily the was and now, the big strike throughs, because it ruins the value proposition. What we like is the white company style, where you say, oh, shh, don't tell anyone, but here's your special VIP coupon.
So it's like they've got a secret coupon that they're only getting, like they've got a staff discount, and they've gone, oh, you can use a staff
everyone
discount.
Everyone else is paying £150 for this candle, and I'm only paying £95. Wow, better buy it now. And it's so obvious.
What astonishes me is that, because some of our clients are completely built on a discount model, they've always got an offer out there, and it's pretty much impossible not to see that offer. I mean, it's on the site, it's on the emails, if you do a Google search for discount, it's right there, you know, and it's a significant offer. And every month, there is a significant portion of people who pay full price.
Yeah.
Every month. And it's like, how did you miss the offer?
Well, they obviously
want to pay
the product and they don't care. And you know, but I think a lot of, depending on how big you are, a lot of the only leverage you will have, if you don't, you know, unless you have £1 million worth of marketing budget to spend every quarter, the leverage you'll have is your offer proposition. And because you're not a big, you know, you're probably not a big brand, but let's say you're doing, you know, even if you're doing 10 million, you know, probably no one's probably ever heard of you. I mean, we've got clients who are doing, you know, 15, 20 million, and you go and no one in the market's even heard of them still.
The UK is a huge market. It's massive. Those big retailers.
Billion. I don't know what the e-commerce stat now is, but it's something massive. So, you know, you've got to look at what you've got, you know, and you know, I know exactly what we would be doing, you know, if we were launching another new e-commerce brand today, you know, the main conversation that we would be having would be around that offer proposition because it's so fundamental to get right. And honestly, I implore you to really test it to see what happens to your lifetime customer value if you're recruiting at a stronger offer, and you will be surprised.
What do you think about building, because some brands, e-commerce sites kind of lend themselves to building a community around the purchase. Because, you know, we've had a few people who, when people buy a certain product, they get put into a Facebook group and they get, you know, they get told how to use the products, and they get, and then that seems to work quite well for, you know, for specific products that, where, you know, there might be a bit of confusion about how to use it, how to get the most out of it. They might need a little bit of community around it. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, like medical products, like, you know, continuous glucose monitors, those kind of things. Yeah. And I think they, that works, you know, if you've got that little bit of a hump where there's, you know, the person needs to fall in love with the product in the first couple of weeks. And if they fall in love with it, they need a little bit of help. And it's difficult for you, for them to get, you know, you can't give them one-on-one.
I think so. Like, doing all that stuff, right? I mean, if you've got products that lend itself to that and buyers that want that, then of course that's going to be awesome. Because what you've got is a loyal herd that love you. And you know, they're not even going to go and try and price compare. If you launch a new product, they're not going to go and compare, because they're absolutely so bought into you. So, you know, go for it. And of course, that's obvious. I mean, you know, One of the things I was just thinking about then was the it's totally gone. That's having a that's having a newborn baby for you.
Yeah. I'm looking at the book. I've got in the book one. Looking at the book, and one here is quite like is offering upgrades to products already owned. And obviously you think of software when you think of upgrades. And obviously if you get an upgrade, you don't pay as much for the software. But you can do it with clothing as well. So you can say, if you own a certain jacket, maybe they've had that jacket for a year or 2 years or whatever, you could say, I know you own this jacket. You can upgrade that jacket, get a brand new version of the jacket for people who own that jacket. And therefore, you know, you're not giving away the brand, because people have to buy that jacket in order to get the upgrade. And therefore, it's a much easier way of thinking, I would like a new jacket. I'll just buy the upgrade. And then they're kind of in that club.
Yeah.
People do it with wetsuits as well.
Electronics and, I mean, I think one of the things we've found is that to get the lifetime customer value and get the average order value higher, they're quite likely to buy the same product again.
Yeah.
You know, and that sounds weird.
Especially supplements.
But I think it's true.
You know, we're trying to find the right upsell for supplements. But that kind of, I guess that kind of goes into what we were talking about last week with the average order value. Yeah. But I mean, it's like, you know, like contact lenses, trying to get people to buy. You've just got to make it very easy for people to buy again. It's just like one-click ordering, one-click remember they're ordering. And then, you know, you're taking out the obstacles.
Well, yeah, you've got to make the experience.
You know, they come to the site and their sizes already are filled in,
You've got to make sure that the delivery is good and it's fast and it's on time and it doesn't get, you know, lost. You know, people will take a risk on a first purchase to test it, but if they have a bad experience with delivery, they won't come back. You know,
so you've got to get twice shy.
I don't understand why everybody considers delivery and courier companies like a commodity. Like they're trying to get the cheapest they possibly can. £3.20 rather than £3.40. Right, let's go with the £3.21. You know, as an e-commerce guy, like Jesus, it's not a commodity. It is a very important step. And you look at all the reviews. And in fact, I was chatting to a friend of mine who works for Whistle, and he was saying this: the effect on lifetime customer value is massive if they have bad delivery experience. And you know this because look at the reviews. Something like he was saying 90% of bad reviews is around the delivery.
And there's no reason why you can't track. I mean, you track lifetime customer value against SKU, first product bought. You can try track lifetime customer value against courier used, because you've got that data. You know who the courier was.
We wrote the tool to do that, didn't we? We wrote Central to do that, to track. And it sits there and it tracks it.
You know, and then it makes it really obvious. You go, don't use that courier. It's just useless. Or send more through that. And it might be, you know, there might be like 2%, 1% more expensive. But, you know, if you get a lifetime customer value kick of like 25%, then it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
I think we should aggregate that data and put that out as a document. Lifetime customer value by courier. That'd be good.
Yeah.
That's key.
Some people wouldn't like it.
No, you might have to be careful.
I think there's a lot there. Anyway, there's a lot more in the book, The Ultimate Guide to E-commerce Growth. growth. 7 unexpected KPIs to scale an e-commerce shop to 10 million plus. So
yeah
so more in the book if you want to cover it. Is there anything else you want to say?
We're just going to summarize very quickly. Lifetime customer value, key things for me is number one, the more likely to buy initially. Again, number two, look at the products they're buying and see whether or not the lifetime customer value is higher for certain products. Number three, experiment with a premium segment, creating a VIP premium. And when that's free delivery, or just saying it, is quite key. And then I think look at things like look at other things that might influence the lifetime customer value, like average order value on the first purchase, or your delivery mechanism, things like that. To be honest, getting lifetime customer value, it's like, if you're not having a conversation about lifetime customer value in your e-commerce meetings, you're missing out. You're really,
and especially you need to know where is it going? Is it going up? Is it going down?
Yeah.
What's happening to it? You know, you don't want to be kind of like going along for 2 years and go,
you're milking your herd, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you go, oh, I don't need to worry about recruitment now because everyone's buying. I've got a big customer house file. Well, they're going to drop, aren't they? So you've then got to top them up. You've got to work out how many people I've got to buy, I've got to recruit to keep topping up.
Well, that's our next KPI, which is our 6-month customer recruitment rate, which we should cover in a future podcast.
Cool.
The only thing I would just say is, if you haven't watched our case study video, which will be in the show notes, please do so, because we've put together a client and we've gone through all the steps from when we first started working with them, what we did, you know, things like changing the product page, all that kind of useful stuff. So you get to see the whole process as we move through a client. And that gives you a very good overview of our methodology. And people are giving us a lot of good feedback based on that video. So if you haven't watched it, please do. And
I've
look forward to speaking
on,
to
I've
you.
I've remembered. I was going to say cognitive dissonance. That's what I was going to say.
Those two big words.
Yeah, which basically means that when somebody buys something for the first time, they actively look for things to reinforce that was a good decision. And they positively ignore anything that tells them that it was a bad decision. So basically, they become your biggest friends of your brand. They love you. And they tell all the friends, oh, my God, I just bought this thing. I found really, it's amazing. It's great. Because they really want to make themselves feel
the
right thing.
Yeah, and that's
why
in the book we talk about doing a thank you campaign, don't we? So as they go around the internet, they actually see thank you messages and, you know, positive reasons why they've made a good decision. So if you do a thank you campaign with a post and then there's like a ton of people saying, oh, it's amazing, blah, 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 blah. Because obviously on your Facebook post, you can control all the negative comments. They're just going to see the good stuff. It's great. Yeah. It's going to make them think, they've made the right decision. Well done.
Got it.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, guys.
Leave it there.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.